know exactly why she came for. Can't get enough, she says she want more.
Again, Lord, if it's thy will, let it be done. Fight against them that fight against you, the Lord, my life, my salvation, whom shall I fear? And I watch you for every shadow of death, and I fear no evil. Remember why mankind them so covet? Every day them get up on them and try them from the chicks. Remember why mankind them so covet? Every you me look on them and tell them, say, I say, why mankind, I know they are so covet. So
good evening and apologies for the late start. This is Ati Marte. This is Governance on Q. We have been having a few technical difficulties trying to raise a couple guests, overseas guests, who need to join us for the discussion that we're about to have. And it's been a little more complicated than we anticipated. So my deepest apologies to you, to those of you who have been waiting for the program. We thank you for being patient, and we're going to actually kick off the program right now this evening. I have in studio with me somebody who's no stranger. He's Mr. Stephen Dura. Good evening, Stephen. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, good evening, Afi, and let me just say good evening to your listeners locally and overseas.
All right. I need to also say hello to my other guests. I'm hearing a lot of noise on this line, but we want to be sure that our overseas guests are with us. Paul, are you there?
I'm here.
And
good evening, Anthony.
And Lisa, are you with us?
I am here. Hello, everybody.
Okay, my friend. Thank you so much. Okay, so we now have everybody. I've offered my apologies to the listeners because people are actually on waiting for the discussion. And they have no idea really what it's going to be about. Although now that some have heard the name of Paul, and I'm going to add his last name, Paul Rilo, and Lisa Sorensen, and Steve Durand, I think the public now knows that we are going to be talking about parrots, one of the important P issues in Dominica. And the reason that we want to sort of revisit that issue this evening, it's clearly because it's not an issue that's going to go away, because it's an issue that has again caught us with our pants down. It has caught us in a very ambiguous situation, a country promoting itself as the nature island of the world, a country that has a long legacy and history already of conservation and protection of natural systems and wildlife species, a country that is signatory to all the major international conventions seeking to protect the species of the world and the environments of the world, deserts, oceans, rivers, mountains, and so for us, you know, it's really important that we either get serious or announce to the world that we're no longer the nature island. And this evening, we want to revisit an issue that unfolded last year sometime, just about the 21st of April last year.
March. Yeah, March 17th.
March 2017.
17th.
Oh,
March
17th, 2018. You see, yeah. That's why Stephen has to be here. He's the one who holds our feet to the wire with the details. And something happened that should not have happened. 12 of our parrots, two of the what we know locally as the Cicero
Jackal,
two Ciceros,
yeah,
and 10 Jackal parrots. We will save the
scientific
nomenclature for later. But two Cicero and 10 jackal parrots suddenly found themselves on a plane leaving Dominica and heading to a place in Germany. And under the terms of not only the CITES convention, which we will talk a bit more about, but also our own wildlife and forestry acts and legislation, all the rules appear to have been broken to permit a species that is not just a protected species, an endangered species, but also one of them, the Cicero, is the species, a bird that is on our national flag. And so it represents Dominica, and as a result of that, should receive even extra added protection over and above what the international conventions would actually make provision for. But unfortunately, there are some people who seem to think that none of these considerations warranted, being put into the mix and into the decision-making process. It seems, and we can be very blunt about it, there is a healthy, profitable, trade in exotic species of animals of all kinds, all over the world. There's a particularly interesting trade in birds of the kind that left Dominica illegally, our Cicero and our jackal parrots. And there are people who specialize in that because it's a very financially profitable business. One of these birds can sell for as much as 75,000 US or maybe even more. We can find out some more. But certainly, notwithstanding, the protection that is afforded the birds by national legislation and by international legislation, and should be protected, should be afforded actually by the national significance, certainly of the Cicero parrot, it turns out that there are people on our side, in our country, people in positions of knowledge, people who know better, but people who are greedy for money, and people who don't care about law, who don't care about the protection of species, and yet who parade themselves as being spokespersons for something called the Nature Island of the world. And those people facilitated the extraction of those birds, illegal extraction of those birds, to a place and a person in Germany. That person presented themselves to our local, pirates of parrots, you might call them. And so they found a way to extract our birds. They tried to use all kinds of arguments. Oh, the birds had been distressed by the hurricane and they will likely not recover, etc., etc. And so we raised the issue internationally as well. So the issue has been taken up by a number of institutions. And Paul Ryloo, Dr. Paul Ryloo, who's on the phone here, is a leader of one of those institutions who has not just a vai-qui-vai, sometime ad hoc relationship, but has had a long relationship with Dominica, the parrots, and the question of protecting the birds. And the other person with Dr. Paul Ryloo is Dr. Lisa Sorensen, who is with the
Birds Caribbean
organization, and also has a long standing history and a record of working with people to protect and to develop the science of management and protection of these species. And so, Stephen, maybe we should begin with you, since you're in studio and you represent us. And I'm sure neither Paul nor Lisa would mind that.
Sure, no problem.
So tell us in a nutshell, why should we be still concerned about this, and help us understand the significance of the pirating of our parrots?
Very good. Before I say anything, I just want to say hello to Paul and Lisa. And it's good to have you on with us. Mr. Mate, last year when this event took place, there was a lot of talk. I said very little. And I just continued to you know, stress what I said for more than 10 years, over a decade, that these individuals whom we had transacted our birds to are dangerous people. And 10 months, nearly 10 months after, we saw an article that came out in the Guardian UK, published by the Guardian and produced by a lady called Lisa Cox and some other gentleman, together with another gentleman in Germany. And here it was presented before us and the world, the entire world, that it is proven that these people that we gave our birds to, which was unethical, which was illegal, unauthorized, everything was wrong about it, that we, it came right to our face that these people were criminals, known criminals, had evidence, the information came out that these people are criminals.
Kidnapping.
And they're involved in all sorts of, you know, criminal activities, okay, including kidnapping, you know, extortion and all of this.
Okay.
And that the gentleman had served jail time on two counts, 5 years and 20 months. And one other individual in his organization is also listed as holding criminal record.
Okay.
And, you know, I felt very good in December because some people felt that I was preventing them from doing what it is they want to do. And this activity is something that the people who are involved in doing this wanted to do it for a very long time. They know why.
Let's be very clear. The people who wanted to do this, I mean the local people.
Yeah, the local
people. The local facilitators, the local pirates of parrots wanted to
do this
for
a very
long
time.
And we will call their names.
Yeah, they wanted to do this a very long time. They said it to my face that they would do it. They would see to it that they've done, they would do this. And they use Hurricane Maria and with all its stress and its, you know, pressures
as an excuse
to do what I recall, what I can state as malice.
Okay, so that's a local dimension.
Yeah.
Let's bring Paul in. Dr. Rilo, Paul, how are you?
Sir, I'm great. Thanks for
What's the significance of this illegal transaction, in, which is in violation of all the international and even our local national legislation and arrangements? What's the significance of this for a country like Dominica?
It is nothing short of profound, and as Mr. Duran can articulate better than anyone, it's the Forestry and Wildlife and Parks Division, with its 70-year history in wildlife conservation, that has set the bar for the region in wildlife protection and arguably established a standard for Dominica to be the nature island of the Caribbean and the world. Mm-hmm. This event is an absolute betrayal of that legacy. Not only the legacy of the Forestry and Wildlife Division, but the legacy of the country to embrace its natural heritage, to embrace its natural image. The icons that are on your flag and on all the government symbols, particularly the parrots, symbolize and epitomize not only the ideology, but the persona, the actual reason that Dominicans feel so strongly about their environment. And it's been my pleasure to be affiliated and partnered with forestry for 22 years, first with parrot conservation and then many far-reaching conservation endeavors. This act undoes so much of that legacy, not only by betraying the promise that these species of special concern would always be given special consideration under the law, but that internationally we had established this protocol that they would be recognized, not just as symbols, but as great value to the world's biodiversity and biodiversity heritage. And therefore, what we're seeing now is a paralysis of the system, where forestry cannot proceed. We are caught in this terrible place, jammed in the middle between an organization with a criminal history. And by the way, no credentials. These individuals that took these bullets had no scientific credentials whatsoever. None.
That is, the people who are receiving the birds in Germany have no credentials, so no scientific credentials.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And we have a network of international conservation organizations, Birds Caribbean, our organization, the Rare Species Conservatory Foundation, many different wildlife organizations under the broad umbrella of the World Conservation Union, the Parrot Ornithological Society groups, credentialed, qualified, experienced scientists, decades of experience in doing parrot recovery. All of these people represent the collective resource that Dominica has drawn on for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those recommendations made for many, many years were utterly ignored. We know this because the response after this dreadful event was an outcry from the international conservation community. The biggest names and wildlife conservation, the largest NGOs in the world, signed on to letters written to the CITES Secretariat, written to the Dominican government, written to the CITES representatives in Germany and across the world, anybody that was in this wildlife conservation sphere, decrying this event, arguing point by point why it shouldn't have happened, what violated the understandings and the protections that had been put in place for these animals, the ethics of it, et cetera, et cetera. There's a petition out there with 55,000 international signatures decrying this act. It is just unconscionable that this should have, that this could have happened, and that it has not been remedied in nearly a year.
Now, Paul, is this all about money? This is all about people wanting to get our birds and other exotic birds from other countries to sell to make money?
It is the driver behind the exotic animal market. The reality is that parrots are commodities. They're perceived as commodities in many places. The reason that we see these bad actors in wildlife trade is because of money. That's the incentive. That is the motivation.
Okay.
The promise that if these animals are somehow propagated, they can be sustained, and there's currency. There's a price on their head.
For us,
and
this
if you think about the...
Yes, go ahead.
I was just going to comment briefly that if you think about the animal welfare components of this alone, aside from the trade, imagine of those 12 birds taken, every single one of those birds was hatched in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one. And most of them were being rehabilitated for release back into the wild, where they belong.
Absolutely.
Imagine giving them a life sentence to being
in
exiled.
Captivity.
To Germany to live in a cage.
And you know, Paul, for us, the extended significance is that, I mean, the vast majority of the, most of the surveys that have been done on Dominica's tourism over the last 30, 40 years say that one of the reasons that people really choose Dominica, that's the stayover visitors, et cetera, is because of its history of wildlife and nature protection and conservation. And because it's been lost so rapidly in so many parts of the world, Dominica is kind of like a haven. It's kind of like a holy grail spot for people who want to see how it used to be. And so that any action taken to throw a doubt about that is not just about the greedy people involved as pirates. It's about they're being so greedy that they don't mind destroying and undermining one of the so-called pillars of the Dominican economy. And I wanted to, could we bring Lisa in at this time? We held her on long enough earlier. Lisa, I'd like you to come in. Tell us, first of all, you know, what is your organization's view and position on this really despicable kind of treatment of our birds? What is your position, your organization's position?
Hi. Okay, thanks for having me on. We were absolutely devastated when we heard the news about these parrots being taken. There had been some warning signs because we knew that Guth and ACTP had visited Dominica several times, And I understand that Martin Guth said to Stephen, I have no intention of taking your parrots into breeding into captivity. And yet a couple of weeks later, he came back and whisked them away in secret. And so when we heard this news, we were absolutely devastated. And you're absolutely right about Dominica having the reputation of as a country that treasures its wildlife and its nature, and that is why people come to visit Dominica. And I have traveled all over the Caribbean islands with my work. Birds Caribbean is a regional conservation organization, and so we work with partners all over the islands. And I have told people Dominica is the most pristine country that I have visited, that you have this incredible history and amount of land that's under nature protection, mm-hmm. and that is something to be admired, and that is what makes Dominica so special. And so the fact that this could happen due to greed is just devastating. Mm-hmm. It's all about greed, it's all about money, and you know, the laws were not, you know, there was not a good enough system in place to prevent this from happening, and we want to see it remedied. We want to see a solution to bring back the parrots brought forth and to fix this situation so it does not happen again.
Okay, that takes me to the question I was going to ask Paul, yourself, and Steve to weigh in on, because I'd like to spend the next several minutes talking about what do we do? What are the next steps to sort of remedy this, and most important, to prevent this from happening again in the future? What do we do? Steve, Paul, Lisa?
Okay, maybe I could start here.
Yeah.
What really needs to be done now is that there needs to be recalling. I think people need to get sober and have to accept, agree that we've made a mistake and gave our birds to the wrong set of people. We just have to accept it, mm-hmm. and appreciate it. That is what we did. It should not have been done. And so the best thing is to recall our birds. But those birds cannot come back to Dominica ASAP, immediately, directly from, like how they send them from Dominica directly to Germany. Those birds will have to go to some neutral ground. So we would have to negotiate with some partners to agree to keep those birds for some time to quarantine, because those birds are loaded with diseases. These birds are among other birds that are highly, you know, impacted with diseases. And so we will have to clean up those birds. So those birds have to go to some place.
They have to go in quarantine.
They have to go into quarantine.
Okay.
The other thing is that those birds cannot come back and go into any sort of program with other birds.
Breeding.
So we will have to find suitable facility here. Mm-hmm. So which means that we must, and I'm saying that we should have done this long, we should have been looking at improving our facility. This is a must. Mm-hmm. We have to do this, and that is what the facility that will, you know, these are the kind of activities that we'll have to be doing at the facility,
okay.
to ensure that we can continue with, you know, holding our birds in a safe place where we can work with the species in case in future. I personally believe that our birds are better off in the wild. Mm-hmm. We do not need to put our birds in cages. Mm-hmm. We have a history of maybe more than 500-600 years of intense storms. Our forest has come back. The birds have come back. The birds are still there. Mm-hmm. Hurricane David, we were 160 birds and less than 100 birds for both species in the wild. The jackals were more than 100 birds. The ciceros were less than 100 birds. In 30 plus years, the population was nearly 500 birds and more than 1,500 birds for those two species. So the nature takes care of itself. And the work that we were doing, that forestry has done, you know, helped the species. And so there's no reason for us to really take a lot of birds and put into a facility specifically. But I think it is important. If we do this, we also creating, you know, situation opportunities for young people to be training as vets in avian medicine and whatever.
Okay.
Create other opportunities. And it also gives us a chance in case there's something that is catastrophic. And so we have something
to be ready.
To be ready to okay. start.
Can
you understand?
Yeah.
This is the way we need to go.
Okay. Let me ask, Paul, can Dominica expect to be supported, to be helped, to be assisted and facilitated by international organizations in the kind of rescue operation that, that Steve has just described briefly.
Absolutely. And it's been our relationship going back to 1996 mm-hmm. that has proven that. Between our organizations and our partners, we've flowed millions of U.S. dollars into Dominica to provide the infrastructure for conservation programming, the training, the equipment, the vehicles, the caging for the Parrot Conservation Research Center, which we've overhauled a couple of times, mm-hmm. to make sure that that local infrastructure was always there so that Dominica could be the steward of its own wildlife. Mm-hmm. Its sovereignty would stay on island, and that's what we call in situ conservation. It is the hallmark of appropriate and legitimate mm-hmm. wildlife conservation enterprises. Okay. And that has been what we have done in partnership with forestry since 1996.
Okay.
And Stephen is absolutely right in saying that not only is that the expectation and that's the goal, but it is a tangible, practical, purposeful goal
okay. That
does a number of things. It engenders local pride, it employs people, it keeps the training and capacity building where it needs to be, which is in Dominica. It keeps your wildlife where it belongs, which is on the island. These are endemic species. But then even moreover, it consolidates that view that Dominica cares about its wildlife, is proud of its wildlife. Why would any Caribbean island export two of its national birds to Germany under the pretense of a breeding program? That is as idiotic as any statement I have ever heard in my life. And, of course, it has absolutely no scientific merit. The PCRC, the Parrot Conservation Research Center, was a rehabilitation center for birds that came in from the forest that needed help. Stephen, how many birds have been rehabilitated since I've been associated, the last 22 years? It's dozens, right, that have been returned to the wild and spent a short stay there. Mm-hmm. Immediately after the hurricane, our organization sent not only rescue materials and chainsaws and tens of thousands of dollars of emergency equipment, we sent a replacement aviary to immediately begin repairing and rebuilding mm-hmm. the structures that were there. And that is just part of the unconditional support mm-hmm. that you can expect.
Okay.
From NGOs.
Let me ask Lisa. Lisa, Bird Caribbean is a regional organization. What are you standing ready to do? What have you been doing? How have you been addressing this issue programmatically? What can we expect from you in the next stage?
Right. So, Birds Caribbean, our mission is conserving the birds and nature of all the islands, and we put a very big focus on capacity building of local NGOs and government institutions, and also we have a very big focus on outreach and education, you know, getting the message out there that the Caribbean islands have amazing endemic birds. There's 172 endemic species of birds in the islands that are nowhere else in the world,
wow.
and that is something that a lot of people don't realize, and something that you can capitalize on for pride and for tourism and so forth. Mm-hmm. People will pay big money to come and see your birds. So we do a lot of training and outreach. And after the hurricanes, like Paul Rilo's organization, we also sent emergency supplies to help the forestry department, mm-hmm. over $12,000 worth. And so we stand ready to help support whatever programs you all want to do, you know, whether it's surveys to see how the parrots are doing, more outreach and education. Probably a lot of your listeners are aware that Forestry Department has been one of our best partners in celebrating the Caribbean Endemic Bird Festival, which we celebrate mm-hmm. every spring.
Mm-hmm.
Forestry has had radio programs on it and take kids bird watching and all kinds of excellent activities. So we are always ready to support that. And we stand by ready to help you with whatever next steps you want to take.
Yeah.
You know, the
harsh reality is, folks, is that nowadays these things are high-stakes games in the sense that this program, this initiative for rescuing our parrots as important as it is scientifically and socially and educationally and even economically, it's competing with some really big guys, like the sale of passports, like people in interested in setting up offshore banks, and in all sorts of heavy-duty, heavy-hitting kind of stuff. And so, you know, I would venture to say that in addition to the support, which, you know, we are overjoyed, I certainly am, to hear about it continuing to come, and that it will continue to come from Paul's organization, from your organization and others, we're probably going to need other kinds of partners involved with us in this campaign, because a campaign it has to be, because we still are finding people in significant policy-making positions, people in significant technical positions like permanent secretaries, like technical officers and so forth, who know the science but have been bought out by the money of the big guys in the game. And I know this is not a question for you to answer, certainly, but it's an issue that we in Dominica and throughout the Caribbean, as the residents and the citizens of this, are going to have to confront. That people are going to say to us, of what use is this? Look at how many millions we're making from the sale of this and the sale of that. Look at this, look at that. You know, what are you talking about? Two or three little parrots. So how do we get past this hurdle? Who are our political friends in the conservation movement and the protection and the movement to recover species like our parrots? Where are these friends? I know where you guys are, and we can reach you as we have today, but we need other kinds of friends. I don't know, Stephen, what do you think? You're the Dominican in the mix here.
Afi, you know, I'm so disappointed. I'm really disappointed in that even the international, you know, wildlife regulators, the people who are supposed to ensure that wildlife, you know, is not globally, is not falling into all of this, you know,
the mess that it is in.
Mm-hmm. You can clearly see that these people are supporting some of this corrupt and crooked, you know, behaviors.
Give me a name. Give me a name.
Well,
of an
exactly
organization.
What we see in ACTP is doing. Yeah. It is supported. Yeah. What we're seeing is happening. The government of Germany and CITES Germany are supporting what this gentleman is doing. They know it is not right. They know it is wrong.
It's contravening CITES.
Right, not just CITES. Mm-hmm. But for example, our parrots went to Germany, mm-hmm, which is an EU country.
Yeah.
The EU regulations for importation of wildlife are making certain requests, that especially wild bird population.
Yeah.
You have to do blood works, blood tests. You have to test those animals to look for certain particular diseases. The birds went away to Germany without being tested. So you're not only disregarding, infringing your own regulations, but you're infringing international regulations. And this is supported by the country that is receiving those animals.
So you have,
and the organization that is supposed to ensure that those things does not happen.
So you have lawbreakers on both sides. Lawbreakers.
So where are we at? Where are we, you know? Well, where are we? You know what I feel? I feel for the people who've done all of this hard work, who are doing all of this hard work to protect, to manage, to ensure that the species, you know, there's sustainability in the species. Mm-hmm. And all of this hard work from people like, you know, Mr. Maxime May, soul rest in peace, and everybody else before him, all his older foresters, mm-hmm, Udley James and all the others, mm-hmm, you know, Michael Zamo and Colmore Christian and all the rest, and everybody was involved in all of this program, you know, including my colleagues who were there. Mm-hmm. Everybody, their hard work, you know, is disrespected.
But it's been disrespected.
There's no recognition, no sort of, you know, recognition. You know, let me tell you, these people have never
we bred the imperial in captivity. Mm-hmm. Nobody has told us, thank you, or we are happy. We want to commend you for what we've done. Mm-hmm. Both parrots have bred in Dominica. Mm-hmm. This is Daniel Green, got a cross between the Jaco and another Amazon, South American Amazon. Mm-hmm. So we can say that we successfully bred both species.
Right.
And so we do not have to send our birds to anybody. But nobody has the guts to say, Paul, Stephen, the director of forestry, and everybody else, Lenny's Bruno, Randolph Winston, and everybody else who were involved, we want to commend you for the work that you've done. And you've done something that is...
And we want to...
And this is the only known, it's history, you know. Mm-hmm. It's historical. The only known captive bred imperial.
And look at so many things we could have done with this. We could have let this be, if you will, the core, the engine of building a scientific, a research,
so,
a training
so,
center.
So, Afi, what should have happened mm-hmm. is that these people should come down to our level and to talk with us
yes.
and ask questions. I'm in forestry for 47 years. I came after Hurricane David through a power project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So which means that I am knowledgeable enough
but
as to guide a strategy, a policy mm-hmm. for conservation for the species, for both species.
But
and mark you, these are the only two true endemic birds on Dominica, which means that you want to do everything, you're all that you can do, possibly do, to ensure that you're protecting
absolutely
the species.
Absolutely.
That there is sustainability in the habitat and everything else.
Okay. Stephen, Paul, I'm sure you fully understand and share sentiments expressed by Steve, as you do also Lisa. But I'm asking you, how do we get over these hurdles? We have people like a Stephen here. Decades ago, we had people like a Chris Maxime and others here. This forestry is still a stepchild in the structure of government, in terms of the resources allocated to it, in terms of the attention given to it, in terms of the respect shown to it, as Stephen just so classically underscored. How do we move beyond this point to the situation where this is a centerpiece? I say a centerpiece of Dominica's growth strategy, development strategy, resilience and sustainability and integrated development strategy. How do we get it to that point? That's our challenge. And Paul, I'm inviting you and Lisa to share with us how do you guys help us to get in that situation, to that position?
Well, forgive me, Lisa, I'm going to jump in on this one because this is such a vital question, and Afi, you're spot on as always. I remember, as does Stephen very well, and I will call Stephen the hero of Dominica's parrots because he singularly represents the longevity, the expertise. He's the finest forester I've ever had the pleasure to work with, and he is nothing short of a national hero, and I hope everyone who's listening to this program realizes that. It has been my distinct pleasure to work side by side with him for many years, long days in the field and many adventures. And I know that he remembers well that incredible day in January of 2000 when the Morne-Jefferson National Park was declared.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at that mm-hmm. hallmark of that milestone, that was a conservation milestone, not only for the country, but because it was created behind the Cicero parrot, the mm-hmm. stronghold, the last bastion of that wild population. That was the incentive for creating Morne-Jefferson National Park,
mm-hmm.
which consolidated this incredible partnership between our organization and forestry and brought in a lot of new players. That was 19 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
19 years ago. We were younger field workers, I suppose. But today... We know, because we've lived it, that is not gone. We know that there is hope. It comes down to what I'm going to say are three important key elements. One is governance, the second is transparency, mm-hmm. the third is accountability. Yeah. When forestry has its full mandate as the governing authority for all wildlife matters on Dominica, you will have transparency, you will have accountability, you will have leadership. And forestry is legislated as that body to do just that. Stephen's 37-year career in parrot conservation and research is testimony to that structure providing the means to carry forward, to train the next generation of practitioners, mm-hmm. to keep the support flowing. The bad actors that undid this incredible program should be held accountable. And the transparency to do that must be demanded by everyone. We've been demanding it on the international stage. Mm-hmm. Lisa Cox did a valiant effort to expose the criminality behind this organization. You know, we haven't even seen so much as a loan agreement mm-hmm. for the birds that left.
Yeah.
Every document, everything that is done collaboratively in a legitimate conservation program is documented for the world to see. There are no secrets. Inventories are made apparent to everybody. Finances, who's paying for this? Who's supporting this organization? Where does the money come from? Where does it go? How is it spent? Legitimate NGOs that do wildlife conservation are happy and proud to present that information. And government is happy and proud to share it. There are no secrets about this. That's not how conservation is done. Conservation is done by scientists. It's done by credentialed people who have education and experience. They're part of a global network of credentialed and qualified people. It's not done in back rooms. It's not done by people who want to cut a deal. This is done out front in the open.
Absolutely.
And there is absolutely nothing to hide mm-hmm. in a legitimate conservation program. And in fact, what we have seen for a very, very long time in Dominica is this amazing model system for how to do it right. Keep it local. Keep it strong. That's where we need to be. We should be there. The accountability and transparency will bring us back to that point.
Lisa, you have anything you want to add to that? Please, go right ahead.
I would agree strongly with the points that both Stephen and Paul made, and I would also like to say that, you know, I think that the people of Dominica, of course, have been under terrible stress after Hurricane Maria, and that's why, as Stephen pointed out, this was the opportune time mm-hmm. for ACTP to come in and make their deal when everybody was distracted. It's called disaster capitalism, you know, when things are going bad, the greedy people swoop in and do their deals.
That's
and,
right.
And, you know, all kinds of bad things happen. But I think now with people recovering, I hope that the people of Dominica will not stand for this and express their grave concerns and outrage and disappointment over what has happened and demand that the parrots come back and demand that transparency. Mm-hmm. You know, all over the world, people have to deal with problematic governments. Here in the U.S., we have our own horrible issues with our leadership, and it's really up to the people to vote out those people that are not doing their jobs, that are not ethical, that don't follow the laws.
Absolutely.
So I think that goes back to the people of Dominica, and also a lot of education outreach, making sure we're reaching those school kids and letting them know how special Dominica is and what it has to offer the world. And it's only through that kind of awareness and getting kids out in nature and showing them birds, taking them out on hikes and so forth, that they can come to appreciate what they have in their own backyard that is so special. Mm-hmm. And they also need to be the ones that speak up and say, hey, this is not right.
Absolutely.
We need to bring these parrots back. We need to have this program in country. We can't allow our government to deal with corrupt, you know, businesses that are here to make money off of our birds.
Well, we can't
allow. So I think
allow
it's a combination of things that's going to change things, make it.
True.
We would be happy to come, for example, and do a workshop and bring all the stakeholders in and say, okay, how can we ensure this doesn't happen again? What are the best next steps for the conservation of these birds over the long term?
That's good.
And if the local people feel that, okay, let's build a hurricane bunker so that we can protect birds, great, we'll raise the money to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If the scientific community and the local community decides that maybe we should have a captive breeding program, you know, that's something that can be discussed. But mm-hmm. again, it should be done in country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the investments should be made, in country with the local people.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have an industry called tourism. that makes a lot of capital and a lot of money out of nature, and they have a responsibility to give back.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Well, folks, I know we started late, and
right,
we
and
did
we have
these...
a program called the Caribbean Birding.
Yes, yes, yes. Hello.
Yeah, I'm just making the point that tourism, bird and nature tourism, is very strong in Dominica, but it could be even better.
Much better.
And we would love to come and do a guide training and get more young people trained and taking people out birding.
Absolutely.
And this supports the local economy as well. It's supporting guides, drivers, restaurants, hotels, bed and breakfasts, all of that.
And for the students,
and that's the part of the economy that could be grown.
I'd like to see us.
You're showing off with about.
I'd like to see us do some programs in that field in the summer. So when the kids are out of school, let's take them out into the hinterland. Let's take them out with people like Stephen and others, and let that knowledge become an intergenerational product, so that Stephen gets a little more satisfaction about all his hard work that they've been doing all these years, because he's passing it on and creating the legacy. Stephen, I want to thank you. I want to thank Paul. I want to thank Lisa.
So important to train the next
generation, absolutely. Yeah. And we're going to have to do this again in a short while, because over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be calling out our local pirates of the parrots. Because we are actually heading into a really interesting, funny season ourselves, not the hurricane season. The funny, real funny season, when national distraction becomes the order of the day, and our job is going to be to help keep people focused on what are the real seminal development issues confronting us, including the issue that we've been discussing tonight. So any closing thoughts from either of you? Paul, Lisa, and Steve, any closing thoughts?
Well, what I want to do is I want to commend, thank Paul and Lisa, and commend them for what they've been doing. Paul, by the way, is not just working with forestry all of those years through, you know, Wayside on the Roadside program. It's through a memorandum of agreement, signed memorandum of agreement. Mm-hmm. And I felt that the way that Paul and his organization was treated in this whole saga, you know, it's very, very disrespectful. Not even a note to say that we need to have a discussion, or we need to inform you, or we would like, you know, some discussion with you on this man. Mm. Nothing. Okay. You just dash away a man who've done, you know, so much in 20 years for the country, for conservation of its biodiversity. And I think, you know, somebody needs to apologize for this. I think it's ungrateful.
Absolutely.
They normally call us ungrateful people, and I see that as, you know, a form of ungratefulness. Mm-hmm. It is. You know, you do not treat people that way.
Okay.
No.
All right.
And I just want to to thank Lisa as well, and for the work that she's done with us and continue to do with us, forestry and Dominica by extension. Lisa, thank you very much. Caribbean Endemic Birds Festival is coming up. Once again, I'm not sure what is happening. I'm out of forestry for the time being. So I'll stay in touch with you all. Very nice to have you all. I'm really pleased that you accepted the offer to come and talk on this issue. Thanks very much.
Stephen, I want to thank you, and I want to thank your colleagues in forestry, the people that have been part of this. Athi, I want to thank you for your courage and your insight and your intellect to bring this to light. It's been our delight to be a partner with forestry and the heroes of wildlife on Dominica, and we will continue to stand strong. We're not going anywhere, but we need to be invited back. We need to know that the leadership still cares about legitimate and real, valuable conservation, the real thing, and we'll stand strong with forestry. But my heart goes out to everybody, and I want to express to you just how committed and dedicated we are, and you're our friends and our family, and we will always be there to help in every way we can.
Thank you very much, Paul. We certainly appreciate those deep thoughts and enduring thoughts, and we look forward to deepening the relationship with you, your organization, and certainly with Lisa and her organization as we go forward and make ourselves much prouder than we feel at this very moment. Okay, good night, folks. Thank you so much. You know, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. My pleasure to be part of this.
I wasn't hearing them though.
For our rights, yeah. Let's recall some great men who's been fighting for our rights. Let's recall some great men who's been fighting for our rights. Let's recall some great men who's been fighting for our rights. Let's recall some great men who's been fighting for our rights. Recall Bob Marley, who's been fighting for our rights. Recall Rodney Price, he's been fighting for our rights. Recall Bernie Spear. Recall Culture Joseph Phil. Recall Miss Lou Fitru. They've been fighting for our rights. Recall them. Recall them. Let's recall some great men who's been fighting for our rights. Let's recall some great men who's been fighting for our rights.
Yes, let's call some brave men and women who've been fighting for us for all these years, these decades. Let's never forget them. Let's treat them with respect. And by the same token, let's call out the pirates and the gangsters and the looters who are taking our country and our people apart one by one, bone by bone, molecule by molecule, atom by atom. And they are doing it because they are greedy men and women. And those greedy men and women want to continue to do that, and we shall not allow them to do that. They can jump high. They can jump low. They are not going to be able to continue their raping and their looting of this wonderful place that the Creator has blessed us with. No matter what it takes, they are not going to be allowed to do that. Hear me well, people. Hear me well. They have the gall to call people lazy or looters when they are the ones looting the public wealth. They are taking our passports, which is the symbol, just like the parrot is the symbol of wildlife and nature. Our passports is a symbol of our national sovereignty, and they have the guts to go to the international community and talk about protecting and respecting national sovereignty when it comes to Venezuela or any other country, while they dispense with and disperse and destroy and decalé our national sovereignty in all its aspects. They want to invoke the protection of national sovereignty, when in fact what they want to invoke is the protection of their national partners. No more. This is the end of the line. They are not going to be allowed. To continue. Trust me.
Standing at the gate. But yeah, I want my hand and I sing. You sing no. Love. Murderer. Blood is on your shoulder. Kill I today, you cannot kill I tomorrow. Murder. You're inside, no see alone. Oh, does it feel to take the life of another? Upon your shoulder, kill me today. You cannot kill I tomorrow. Murder, your inside must see Allah. How does it feel to take a life?
Thank you, Boju. We're opening up the lines right now, people, if you want to engage. I'm sorry we don't have Paul and Lisa on the line, but we certainly have Stephen in studio, and I'm sure all the science and technicalities can be dealt with in that regard. So, caller, are you there? Caller, are you there?
Good evening, Mr. Afi Martin.
Compadre, como estás? Saka fet gasson, maka weo. Koteu. Koteu.
Maka weo, mommy, maka koute pou.
Merci autant.
Comment la vie, comment la famille?
Gasson, la famille bien, la vie bien. Maka senti comme bien. Mon bon petit vacas.
Ben c'est ça, mon weo. Nous en avons dit merci, bon Dieu, pour ça.
Merci, bon Dieu.
Vous vivez en les pieds.
Yes, yes.
Nous la ka koute ve chebe ve gade. Me mouche Afi, monte ke le fè de point principal pou Dominicien ki make sure you ka tende tambou zawa yo pa bouche. They are 2 years not condemned already.
Voye ale.
Mr. Afi, when I look at my island, and you make sure you choose people to serve you to the best ability with care and make sure to have love, courtesy for your people like you, human beings, not animal, human being. Mr. Afin, we reach a stage now and to hear doctors. I'm looking at Wicked, look at the other one that had a patient to make surgery. And the man said, the doctor said, his contract didn't renew, but what about that patient that they are waiting on that doctor to come and make a little operation to see if he survived or she survived. Looking at it again, one on the next heading to see, we have a doctor. I have so many patients, I miss my doctor, I love the doctor, but I telling the doctor, he choose the wrong queue. You mean to tell me the nation bawling on what they going through, and to hear a doctor coming in that rural politics to make sure, doctor, I don't think you can let money fool you. To make sure you to lose your soul. Because when the patient that have been waiting on you, especially to treat them and to make sure they can get a little relief and to speak about you, you going and make sure campaign for election? No, doctor, that is entirely wrong. And Mr. Afi, we all what you hear in Dominican, I don't know how many they say they're working with their eyes closed. Mr. Afi, people, I don't speak politics. I speak what that affects all. Mr. Afi, they're building a road from Providence. It haven't got half a mile. They can come up and have a look at it. Mr. Afi, that's going on 3 years. And the amount of dirt they take out there, Mr. Afi, when you go, I get the response, I not yet see it. Take out all those dirt and shift the stone that can break the volume of the Trafalgar waterfall and put that alongside the river. Mr. Afe, if we never get a heavy rain, not hurricane, the city in trouble.
Okay.
But I'm telling Dominican, don't sit down, and when you do take stock about which party, you look about your brother, your sister, and your health, and you yourself in particular, when you have your little home, before your little wind, much less if a rain have to fall for a day, 5, 6, 8, 7 inches of water, you're not sure. Government have to make sure. I don't know where they get that type of engineer, so call this engineer. And we all only sit down there and taking blows like that, blows after blows. I watching another one, Mr. Afi. I never heard a word, but I bring it out. Let Dominican that know about her. Most terrible. People life she have been serving, they never give her somebody. So when she retire, our next person will follow the wonderful job she have been doing. The office closed, and she retired now. Doctor, nurse director, that was so important, and make sure she at her home. How we come and how we going? The boat is sinking. We don't have eyes. We don't smell it, Mr. Afi.
Okay.
I wish you success, and Dominica, I'm calling on all you. Not party. It is people to serve you and serve you with dignity and with love. But anytime you see the person you put there serving you and it is not present, you have to fall a peaceful demonstration and so to it, that person come out from that post and elect a next one to serve you. Have a pleasant evening. I'm listening to the balance of program, and God guide you and protect you. And bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Mr. McGlow. When life is so hard, you want it to stop. Some call on God, some call on box. Never give in, you never give up. And when in the ring, you never fall out. Music from Richie Farrell. Good evening, caller, your life. Caller, your life.
I say praises, thanks, blessings, and glory to all those who have sacrificed their personal safety and security trying to elevate mankind to humanity. Afi, blessings in your family, sir. God bless you. God bless you. I'm glad that you're in high spirit and the health permit the eye to be there, even if it was not all that, but at least the rest, you know, rejuvenation.
Rest is important. We're there with you. Stephen is with me in the studio.
In the house as well?
Yes, absolutely.
I pray and blessings on your family as well. Afi, let's recall one of those great men and the broad idea. Why is his name again?
Stephen.
Stephen, let's recall some of those great men. Jaco, Cicero, Rubala, Congo Ray, and all of them, Lucy, and all of them. Many more. Recalling them, men and women, according to Afi.
Let me just go ahead.
Afi, I am listening and observing the argument. And it's frightening, you know, Afi, because it's a barrage of violation in that onslaught on Dominicans, unsuspecting Dominicans, a lot of us. Afi, selling our parrots is like selling the soul of DA. And Afi, 12 of them, you know, Afi, a parrot for every month of the year. Is it symbolic of something more illuminatic? I create a word there, I may not be right. I just want to say something. Mm-hmm. Because 12 parrots, why 12? Why all that kind of maneuvering and machination having to do with the people who are accustomed of taking them were not even notified and they were taking care of them and they went to return, surprisingly, they're not there. I think, could it be that we hate our traditional friends so much because we have built up new relationships with China and Russia and Yugoslavia and Estonia? We involve in all kind of countries we know nothing about. Maybe we hate the Americans so much we want to get them out. Ross University, we're going to frustrate you till you go out. The people are taking care of the parrots. Let me tell you something. If all you think of you come in and spy on Dominica with the schizophrenic nature, the leader of this country. Schizophrenia. This man is hearing voices that does not exist. The brother cannot differentiate between fantasy and reality. The brother behaves like a madman, and if he's not, I don't know. How can you do that to the to a people? Look, you get rid of our doctors. Remember he said a couple of years ago when he completed the hospital, we'll have about 27 Chinese personnel, nurses and doctors. And look at here, they have an ophthalmologist in the hospital, the Chinese. So they have another ENT specialist, Cuban. So he's just going to change the health landscape. And his wife going to make her children overseas. They don't care about Dominican. The man said something last week there. The health sector they are setting up, the hospital, that is for if foreigners come here and they get sick, they want to feel safe. They have a health thing they can get. My brethren, when I hear that, the man said it's for foreigners, you know. He never mentioned in his statement the Dominicans. He said if foreigners come in your country, they want to know you have a good health system. So after these people, these Americans, I listen to them there, I sympathize, I apologize with you, to you all. Sympathize with you all, empathize and apologize to you all. We in a full-fledged dictatorship. It's just going to get worse. So all you're not welcome in Dominica. That is what they were telling the people. All you're not welcome. We don't want all you to come and take care of our birds. If you can be that disrespectful. My brethren, Canada took care of our birds for many, many years. And now you're telling America, whoever taking care, they're taking care of broken toes and whatever. They take a little vacation because the place devastated. When they come back, birds disappear without a warning. That level of insult that our traditional friends need to be moved from center stage because it's all kind of dictators and all our diplomatic passports ending up in the hands of all kind of criminals and crooks wanted by Interpol. So those parrots, my brethren, the 12 symbolizing something more Illuminati or diabolic, or I just want to use a word, more sinister. It was not just on the surface, the 12 parrots disappear. The man sold the souls of the country because in closing, he wants a smooth transition from Dominicans to Chinese. He has given in the memorandum of understanding, time will tell. He has bequeathed Dominica to the Chinese, so he do not want Ross University here. He do not want these people that love the parents and taking care of them here. He do not want AFI. He do not want IP. He do not want all of our professionals. Just come out there. AFI, I am not wrong, you know, AFI. Time will tell. Have a blessed day, sir. Blessed evening, sir.
Okay, good evening. Thank you so much. Blessings. We rarely, as a people, have to get to the point where we confront reality and avoid engaging in this thing called denial. A lot of us see the collapse of our society right before our very eyes. And I saw a piece on WhatsApp today, a fat-looking, white-looking, bearded, half-bald person talking with a half-Trinidadian, half-Dominican accent, talking about asking, begging, pleading with Labour Party supporters to stop engaging in words or thoughts that sound like they don't believe they are going to win the next election. This gentleman comes from a family, what you would call a upper middle class Rosso family. He hasn't lived here for a long time, but there he was. There he was, appealing in a very soft voice to supporters of the Labour Party. Be very careful. You're all beginning to talk as if you're going to lose the election. Stop that. He's urging the Labour Party supporters to stop sounding like they have given up. Stop sounding like they have lost hope. I don't know why. I have a lot of Labour Party and Labour supporter friends, but I know that they continue to support their party. But it seems that this gentleman has picked up somewhere that Labour rights or Labour Party supporters are beginning to sound like they have given up hope. And he was urging them to stop it. Stop talking as if you are not going to win, because you are going to win, he said. I have never heard that before. It's really interesting, but more than interesting, it's significant. It's significant because this person is a significant spokesperson, an advocate and apologist for the party. And he must be hearing something that has disturbed him to cause him to go on social media and beg and plead in a nice soft voice for, because of, stop that. What are you doing now? All you sounded like you're going to lose. No. And so on and so on. So that's not my major preoccupation either, people. I'm hearing a funny kind of sound in my ear. I don't know if... Could somebody call and tell us whether or not you are hearing us clearly? Because I'm not hearing myself clearly. I don't know why. Good evening, caller. What is the quality of the audio that you're hearing?
Mine is pretty good, Afia. I hope mine coming back to you
Yours is very good, but for me, from studio, it's like somebody has kind of snapped a line or snapped something.
You're saying it's something more like an echo than an actual.
That's right. And we,
I got you, but I hear
we're having some severe technical issues, but I just want to be sure that you on the outside are still hearing. So if you are, we will tolerate the inconvenience to allow you to go forward. Go right ahead.
Yeah. You know, Afi, you're going to have to bear with me a little bit tonight. You know, when I listen to this conversation this evening, you know, it is the power of this evening, but the conversation has so many analogies to it. Where, you know, there is so much analogy to it. There is lanes of analogy. You know, with the same vein, the same protocol, the same philosophy, the same management, the same, you know, you can take them and put them apart and find the exact qualities in each of these experiences. You know, and so, when we talk, we tonight the emphasis is the international, and there seems to be a sense in Dominica that we're going to wait on the international sometime. But you as well as I know that international organizations deal most effectively when they deal with the government. Their protocol is not to avoid governance and one deal, and then you have extreme situations like with the OAS where the brother understood the depth of and realized that very thing is the ethos of his organization, so it is in his protocol to even equally outside of governance, you know, on that OAS issue. But in general, it's governance. Now, the only thing that these organizations are going to listen to, if not governance, is for this population itself to be in such a state of emergency about the issue that they will be forced to address it. Mm-hmm. And so that is what is similar in all the other things in Dominica politically, Afi. We don't, the electoral reform, we arrive at a state where we're looking for an election to call to us. The electoral reform is supposed to be more urgent than elections. For these organizations out there to be empowered, they have to see a sense of urgency and emergency in the population about the issue. So it is, I think, and that is the component that is missing. The international organizations are willing to act on our behalf, but there is no overriding sense of empowerment by the people who care about the issues in the kind of way that is supposed to raise their awareness to come and want to act on our behalf.
Yeah. Yes, I get your point, Kolo, you're absolutely right, but that's why we continue, that's why we, because, you know, in spite of, you know, sometimes our consternation and dismay at the lack of, you know, energy from the populace, you know, I can tell you, there is a new energy in Dominica, all over.
I agree.
There is a new energy. People are on the ready. This may not be done in the same way it was done 20, 30 years ago, but I feel it, I sense it, I hear it, I am told it every day. So, you know, be not dismayed, my friend. Be not dismayed. Yeah. The important thing is to have the energy and the persistence and the commitment and the courage to continue. That's what's important. So I urge you and others like you, hold on to that rope. Hold on to that rope. Don't let it go. Okay, good evening, caller. Thank you so much. You know, I thought, you know, Stephen is here, but we're having some technical difficulties. So Stephen is actually not really hearing everything that is being said, although he's in the studio. And I am hearing as if I'm talking through sandpaper. And we've had an attempt to sort of resolve the problem, but it's not resolved because I'm
error.
Still... I'm still...
One. Check your internet connection.
Yeah, it seems to be an internet
error.
Problem. Somebody
one.
Is fooling with
check
the internet service to Q95.
At magicjack.com.
Let's try this line and see if the internet line is a problem. Hello, good evening.
Hey, Artie, this is Cyrus Raphael, originally from Point Michelle, but I live in Southern California, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to the program, and I noticed what you've been talking about. All of a sudden, I could hear like the... It sounded like a tunnel, like somebody talking through a tunnel.
Exactly.
Even when the other caller was calling the truckman or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, it's...
So, yeah,
definitely.
I noticed
the audio.
And, you know, I really enjoy the program, you know, the guys talking about the pirates and, you know, I've been away from Dominica for close to 40 years, but I left when I was in my mid-20s.
Okay.
But I've never seen bad governance like this in Dominica.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel for the people, and I really want to be a part of the change, and I want to know how I can be a part of the change.
Okay. I'll tell you what, you can take our numbers. You can call us here. You can call my number, 276-1878. And we can talk. It's a WhatsApp number.
Hold on, I have to write it down because
What's
the number?
276.
What's the number?
276-1878. And we can.
Okay, I will.
Okay, and we can talk about.
I will give you a call.
Okay, my friend.
Welcome.
And thank you so much, and we beg you for your indulgence, because I was planning to go late with the show, but under the technological conditions that I'm operating, I can't. There's one thing I wanted to share, though, and we'll take a few more calls and see if the callers who are going to call in can tolerate the technical inconvenience. Good evening, caller.
Yeah, happy you are loud and clear.
Where are you?
Very, very loud.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maribor.
Okay.
and you're very loud and clear, and the people who are contributing are very loud and clear.
Okay, thank you for that feedback.
What is coming out from the studio, I don't know what is happening in the
Something is happening
outside
in studio.
There,
yeah.
Outside there, you're very loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. We do appreciate that feedback. Thank you so much. Good evening, caller. You're live.
Happy. I'm calling from Bathurst Street, but we are in the noise. It got even worse right now on our side.
Yes, yes.
I can tell you.
There's an interference factor.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. Okay, thank you. Good evening, caller. You're live. This is the Overseas Line.
Yes, my partner, which about you, dear boy?
Yes, I was in your banana field looking after your production.
Brother, it's nice to hear you. Anywhere there is a reverb vibration coming through.
There's something.
It looked like the reverb wanted to turn down or something, but it's you coming loud and clear, but there is a noise in the background.
And we can't seem to isolate it, and for whatever the reason is. So we will just tolerate it till 8. Yeah.
So I can continue or hang up and let you try to play.
Okay. You make your point. Make it brief, and because we're not going to be on for very much longer.
So, after listening to the program, I used to be making joke about the governance of Dominica. But is gangster the running Dominica? So where the real gangsters?
Yeah. Well, that's the point. That's the point.
I'm listening to you. Continue talking, brother. Okay. But it's tickling the vibration that we, when we listen out here, we getting angry. I know for sure I'm getting angry at governance in Dominica. So let me just listen. Maybe I might say a lot. I don't want to put nobody in trouble. Let me say.
Okay.
Catch my people up in Barry.com for me. Tell them hello, man, cool, and I'm listening.
Okay, my
But we have to do something.
Thank you so
Not
much.
Not love our feet. Respect.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we'll take a few more calls and see what happens. Good evening, caller, you're live.
Happy good evening.
Good evening.
Nice hearing you after a while.
Okay.
I have not heard, of course, you know, that situation regarding the Paris Happy is a very, very serious situation. And I'm not sure as to how serious Dominicans are thinking about it. There's one young man from the Forestry Division who spoke out. So is he the one who's still there with you?
I don't know. I have a man in the studio. He's not a young man.
Well, he's
strong. Yeah, Steve Durand. Steve Durand. Yeah, who's the the premier forester who has specialized in the care and management and the science of
well,
of,
yes,
of,
he sounds like it's
power conservation.
Congratulations, sir.
Yeah.
But you know, and we are not hearing anything from the chief forest officer.
Brad, let me explain something before, because time is of the essence. This whole thing was taken over by people who wanted to make money. So it ceased to be an issue of parrot conservation and an issue of the commoditization, the turning of the parrots into a product. You see how they have already turned us into a commodity by selling our passports?
That is right.
Well, they have now turned the parrots, the national birds and so on, into a commodity by selling them.
And I think that should be a big issue for the next coming general election, you know.
Well, I don't know about the next election. I believe it should remain a big issue forever. Yeah.
Because the fact about is that those birds are laying eggs in the wild.
Yeah.
Okay, and that is how these guys are going to make their millions of dollars on our parrots.
You see, and the very serious governance issue is that the person who signed the export certificate had no authority to sign it.
That is right.
And so he made the document and the entire transaction illegal.
illegal.
He was holding a position of permanent secretary, but he was not the CITES in the designated representative of CITES, and so he had no authority to do that. And there are other people who have, you know, been on the fringes, but on there are a couple of businessmen, a couple of private businessmen who themselves have begun to profit from this kind of trade and want to profit some more. It's just like selling passports. They jump on it because it's a bomb CEO. They see a few people making some good money and becoming extremely wealthy, so they want some passports to sell too. So whoever backside they have to kiss to get some passports to sell, they will go ahead and do that.
And I would also like to conclude, you know, that I would want to believe that no documentation was prepared for the expedition of the spiral.
Well, the documentation was improper. It was inadequate. I have in front of me a CITES document that tells me what is the documentation that needed to have gone and so forth. It was not properly done.
All right.
Okay.
Somebody had to pay for that.
Yeah. Well, we have to be ready. Good evening, caller. You're live.
Greetings, gentlemen.
Good evening, sir.
I want to welcome you back once again. It's good to hear you.
Everybody needs a rest at some point.
Of course, why not? Sabbatical is good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, rejuvenate.
Yeah.
Rejuvenate the spirit, the mind, body, soul.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Duran, you're welcome.
Yeah,
good to hear you.
Mr. Duran is here. He's saying hello to you, Steve. But Steve, there's a technical problem in studio. Steve.
Okay, I understand. Yeah. I understand everything. I just want to recognize him. So I'm saying welcome. It's never too late for a voice to be heard. So what I would like to ask him is, does he still hold the position that he held in the forestry division? Is he still employed there? And I'm asking, why didn't he retaliate with the public outrage at the time? I'm not trying to say he didn't privately, but I'm saying he could have rallied people at the time. And was he fearful of his losing his job? Why should he lose his job anyway if he was speaking against something that's illegal at the time that it was happening? So I'm saying I'm glad to hear him. It's good that his voice is being heard. But I'm asking, when one is in a position, has a certain responsibility, and something is going against the norm, why one does not open one's mouth at the time and rally people and have a public outcry, go on the radio stations, all of them? Well, right now he needs to use the political platform to get that message across, because it's a political issue and a state issue. Okay, thanks very much.
Good evening, caller. Thank you very much. I want to hasten to add that Mr. Stephen Girard is one of the few, if not the only one, in the scientific field associated with the wildlife who has been speaking out locally. There might be one or two others, but Stephen stands out as being one of those who has always spoken up and spoken out. Unfortunately, what we have in Dominica is largely a bunch of people in office and position who know better but do nothing. Yeah, some of them are PSs, assistant PSs, chief technical officers, but increasingly what we have is people in those positions who are using their positions deliberately to facilitate the political party that forms the executive branch of the government today. So this is not accidental. And there are going to be no excuses. That's why those folks, highly trained, some of them, many of them professionally trained, who are doing this dirty work, who are the pirates, who are the looters, who are the beneficiaries of the looting of Dominica, they have to pay. Even, I mean, as somebody who was raised as a Catholic, you remember when as a little boy you'd go, you'd say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned, I thief my mommy sugar, I tell a lie, I did this, I did that," and the priest will tell you, say, three of our fathers and five Holy Marys, and so forth, you know. You know, they made you pay. So This is not sugar the people stealing, you know. They're stealing the integrity and the guts of our country, of our society. Let me share something with you. I was reading something just this week. And
well, you take the call and you're talking,
I took a call and you're talking?
Happy.
I took your call? I'm sorry.
My apologies, Afi. I just wanted to come to the defense of the brother that was at next time.
Yeah, well, I don't think we need to spend too much time doing that. Go ahead, though.
Sorry. I mean, since that incident, I've listened to that brother, and look, he's there again.
Yeah.
And knowing Dominica and the level of victimization and brutality, my brethren, you in the foreign, if you don't know better, you ask a question. Do not jump to conclusion and say what the brother should or should not do.
Mm-hmm.
He did what he could do based on the circumstances. How many of the people in forestry that will rise up and say or do anything, at least he said.
Mm-hmm.
And look, he's still saying. Afi, what you just said about the bald-headed, whoever, Trinidadian, Dominican accent, Afi, you should have listened to Austri on Thursday on Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
I said, the man going to burst a blood vessel?
He probably will. Probably will.
The man say, how since when labor rights listen to UWP for advice? We have used scientific data and everything, win free elections with Skerrit at the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Now labor rights is questioning the prime minister judgment. Mm-hmm. And he said things after the man talk and directly just the quiet and
That is what the gentleman I saw on social media must have been.
Boy, them fellas, all you starting to question the man's judgment. And you talk about the constitution that govern the party. How Kerry can unilaterally make changes, and it's for the best of the party. Now labor rights making news, listen to noise, listen to Linton on Q95. And boy, happy the boy make noise. The boy make noise because the labor rights are questioning the judgment of the prime minister or the Labour Party.
Mm-hmm.
And Afi, it is sad to see where we are, Afi.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, my brethren, that is destroying Dominica deliberately. Mm-hmm. It is not accidentally what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a unilateral decision. And Austri and Blackmore, don't worry, even if Blackmore have degrees, Blackmore is not intelligent. It's not because of his poor articulation, because they have a speech impairment. But he's not intelligent. I've listened to him. And Skerrit is having a field day because in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Sure.
And I telling you, Afi, you see the Chinese, Afi, that was introduced to Dominica, they are taking over the heart of Dominica everywhere. Look, lady, there is a lady, have a business place, and the landlord gave her notice she was paying $3,000. Now he's asking us, maybe how much? $6,460. After one leap, you know, to frustrate her. As soon as she moves, you'll see who's taking over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's deliberate. It is systematic. The West Coast road they've hijacked it to remove a stone on the road is the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So, Afi, I am just telling Dominicans, do not take what is happening lightly. Labor rights, wake up and save your country. Your country comes before a party. No, you cannot even criticize your leader. Just look at what is happening in Venezuela, and you will know where we are, not where we are heading. Afi, my apologies. Thanks.
No problem. Yeah. My apologies. I didn't realize
that. Okay, blessings, sir.
Opened your line. Thank you for calling. The thing is that, you know, people who support the Labour Party,
Error. One. Check your internet connection or visit...
Yeah, people who support the Labour Party are in deep thought. Because some of them did believe that the Labour Party was the better party for them to win. I managed the campaign of the Labour Party in 2000. It was rosy, it was pale rose, it was we, it was almost like, you know, the alliance. So I didn't have any problem with that, you know. But when I saw what was beginning to happen, if you're in a boat and you see the boat beginning to spring a leak and beginning to sink, you would be a fool to just sit there as if nothing was happening. You have to make an adjustment, you have to move. And so I think that is what is happening. So now, from what Blessing said about Reggie, I understand what this white-looking man with a beard, with a Trini Dominican accent, was crying about. he is realizing that, and I'm careful not to say labor rights. It's not a labor right issue. There are people who support the Labor Party. There are people who support other parties. That's it. What is a labor right? I know what a Dominican is. I know what a Trinidadian is. You know, but people who support the Labor Party are having second thoughts, are beginning to realize that the reason that their businesses are not doing well, the reason that they too are in fright and fear about crime, just like everybody else, the reason that they have to pay the prices like everybody else, and so forth, is not because they are Labour Party supporters. It's because the Labour Party people who are managing the country cannot do the job. They don't know what to do. They have no idea what to do. And so I guess this big, fat, white-looking gentleman must realize that, and it's a good thing that Labour people who support the Labour Party are beginning to rediscover their brain, their mind. And I'm happy for that, because they are Dominicans, and it means that the minds of more Dominicans are opening, and they will realize that this unraveling of Dominican society is not an accident. It is a deliberate plan unfolding, and that it has been unfolded on all of us by a government led by people who claim to be labor rights, but they're not. And maybe one time soon, I will read to you from a little red book that I have here, entitled The Constitution of the Dominica Labor Party. And in particular, I will read to you about what makes for a legally, properly constituted annual constituency conference, what makes for a delegates conference, how it's to be organized, how many people have to attend, how the agenda is to be shaped. I'll read to you the section that deals with the question of the central executive and the determination of, yes, candidates. The selection of candidates. It has to come from the constituency. According to the Dominican Labour Party constitution, it has to come from the party group, the constituency group, and they have to send delegates who have been authorized to vote on their behalf at the convention about which candidates they wish to think. That all that was thrown out the window in 2004. When after Piero died. So, you know, let us understand, people, that the issue we confronted tonight of the pirates is symptomatic. It represents, it's a sample of the unraveling and the dismantling of Dominica. It took, as you heard Stephen say, years and years and years of work to build up a pirate protection program, to build up the science, to build up the art and the practice of protecting and working with not just the birds, but with their habitats, what they eat, where they need to nest, who are their predators, etc., etc., etc. So these are science issues, and he spoke about the opportunity for new careers. No, that's what we want to understand. That's what we want to hear. Where are the new jobs going to be created for all those young people we want to push through school, high school and college and so on? Well, that's one example of where they can come, you know, and where they'll find jobs, etc. So people, I am actually, I've developed a little headache from listening to a lot of crackles in my ear, even as I spoke to you. I am happy that you have been patient enough with us to listen and to call, as many of you did. And I want to thank Stephen. I want to thank Paul Rilo and Lisa Sorensen, who joined us for the first segment of the program. And I'm so sorry that we don't have the kind of clarity in studio that leaves me comfortable to take you into a real examination of the issues of looters and losers, the real examination of what really happened about Ross University. And did you hear about the new deal that Ross made with a black university in Florida to train black doctors in Barbados? That just happened. That's another thing that we lost. You know, we lost the opportunity to do what Rosie Douglas had in mind, which is for the unification and the consolidation and cooperation among black people from throughout the diaspora, not just black Dominicans, black Africans, black Latins, black Americans, and the Caribbean was in the center of that nexus of that strategy. And yeah, Ross is doing it, and Lisa Waddell is a black woman. The woman that Skerritt stood up, who is the chief executive officer of Ross University at Dellen, is a black woman. Let's understand, you know, history plays funny tricks on us. And so next time, hopefully we'll have a more comfortable technological environment in which to examine these and other issues of the day. In the meantime, I want to say good night and thank you so much for joining us and for being with us. Stephen, I'm so sorry to have subjected you to this period of silence. I just want to say, I'll leave you with that tune of Buju, which was playing earlier, and which I really feel has some significance. Not that we're setting out to murder anybody, but there's somebody out there trying to kill us, and we need to be aware. So good night. Have a wonderful evening. Sleep well. See you next time. You might sing, but no, I can't walk on my-